Welcome to the Philharmonic Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 8:30 British Summer Time. Today is October 12th. Today we saw that the FOMC meeting notes or minutes came out, and the Fed is standing by to lend some monetary easing to the US economy should growth threaten to move back into negative territory. And that has been taken as a positive, although we can pretty much assume that it was a foregone conclusion anyway, by stock markets. And the down the S&P as we approach the close have reversed a small decline and are now up on the day. The same with the Canadian market. Canada has been ranging more or less below the 12,000 level for, or in the region of the 12,000 level for the better part of a year, but it broke upwards about 3 or 4 weeks ago. And it's another one of these markets that has sustained a break out of a well-defined trading range. It's above its April highs now, so it's in the category more of the leaders than the laggards. Most of Europe was in negative territory, but not by very much. Perhaps the CAC was one of the weaker ones, down about a half of 1%. In Asia, the Nikkei was down over 2%, and that is a direct response to the continued strength of the yen, and I'll speak a bit more about that in a moment. Elsewhere, the Chinese market had another strong day in here. That's four very positive days to the upside and consecutively following the Mid-Autumn Festival. The Hang Seng was relatively unchanged. Australia was also a little bit weaker in here today. And we continue to see that the better performing Asian markets continue to hold the vast majority of their recent advances. They are really quite overextended compared to their 200-day moving averages, but neither do we have any evidence that these moves have ended. And when I say ended, what I should flesh that out and say that they have hit medium-term peaks, because there's no evidence whatsoever that the secular bull market in these indices, or country indices, is anywhere close to ending. The US dollar remains within this consistent decline. And while we continue to see that Asian and Latin American commodity-producing countries are increasingly not only talking about doing something about the strength of their currencies relative to the US dollar, but they are doing something about it as well. And Thailand is the latest one of those to put a tax on foreign purchases of Thai bonds. So we're seeing that an increasing number of these countries are increasingly unhappy about the relative weakness of the US dollar, and they are doing whatever they can to weaken their currencies. They could be successful in the short term. Over the medium to longer term, the fundamentals of the major population centers in Asia and commodity producing Latin America are just so much better than the regressing economies of the USA, much of Europe and Japan, that it's pretty hard to imagine how their currencies are not going to get stronger. Central banks and governments might be able to roll back the advance of their currency in the short term, but it would require quite an incredible expenditure of, and I would argue a waste of capital to succeed in that kind of objective, that it is probably just an unproductive use of capital over the medium to longer term. So we can anticipate that these Asian and Latin American currencies are going to appreciate over the medium to longer term. But in the short term, particularly those Asian currencies are overbought in the very short term. We haven't seen any evidence yet that this decline in the US dollar is over, but we are increasingly coming towards a point where the next mean reversion for some of these better performing Asian currencies is really fast approaching. So this does really indicate that it is more a time to be tight on one's money control rather than massively increasing positions, given the fact that one would be coming really quite late to the party. The fact that you continue to see that this US dollar is really quite weak is supporting the commodity markets generally. Gold was relatively unchanged in here today. It went down, had a look at 1340, but closed back above the 1350 level. Silver fell back below $23, but finished closer to $23.50. And both platinum and palladium finished down on the day, but both were well off their lows as well. The commodity or the industrial metal complex was relatively steady, not too much to report on that front. Lumber was limit up again today. It's at $244 now. That's probably the one that is most depressed in terms of its pricing. And it certainly took a hit from the slowdown in the housing construction industry, both in North America and in Europe, but it has all the signs of recovery, and while it's certainly volatile and tends to move its limit at a surprise on a surprising number of days, it does look like it's heading higher, and that should be a broad support for those lumber shares, many of which have really quite attractive yields. I might do a review of some of those tomorrow. Elsewhere in the commodity sector, corn was firmer by 23 and a quarter cents, soybeans by 26. So we're seeing follow through on that limit up move from last Friday. Rough rice, having been quite weak yesterday, rebounded in here today and countermanded yesterday's downward dynamic. Today was the first day in which I saw any talk of the U.S. rough rice crop, and while prices have been recovering since June and broke away from that $10 level in August, they're currently in the region of 13, so up about 30%. And this is the first time I've seen a news story which has talked about the U.S. crop, and the U.S.A. is the fourth biggest exporter of rough rice, and it's really not good news. So rice is another one of these basic commodities which is under upward pressure on pricing, and that is a theme that is likely to continue for at least a few months, as the full scale of just how bad the recent crops have been becomes better known. In the government bond market, U.S. Treasuries were softer, a little bit softer in here, down about half of 1 point. Gilts were quite firm, but with the FOMC meeting, they didn't explicitly say that they were going to go out and buy lots of treasuries, and it really doesn't look like it would be a particularly bright move, considering that yields are already close to historic lows. They have a number of other policy options in their arsenal. And anyone who thinks that the central bank is out of tools really doesn't understand the game very well, because they're the ones who get to make the rules, and they can change them whenever they want. They're going to do whatever it takes to support growth, and that has helped to turn around stock markets in here today. The fact that they said so in the minutes of their meeting should help to underline the fact that this is an activist Fed, and while they were a bit slow to get a hold on the crisis as it was breaking, they've been proactive over the last year, and they're going to do whatever it takes to stoke inflation. Central banks tend to have a much dimmer view of deflation than inflation, and that is one of the things that's helping to support the gold market, with currencies, well, with so many different countries competing to devalue their currencies, both against the US dollar and in real terms. That means that gold is the only quasi-currency that can't simply be printed into existence. And it's a sound reason to have it in one's portfolio for the medium to longer term. Gold isn't at well, gold is already up more than $1,000 from its low about 10 years ago. So we're certainly not in the early stages of this bull market, but nor does it show any signs that it has ended. And our best guess is that we're entering the Third, psychological perception stage, which is the final stage, but it's also the stage in which we see the biggest price advances. And there is still plenty of scope for gold fever to develop over the next few years, as the full scale of the debts that various governments have taken on become clear to investors and voters. And just how those debts are going to be paid back, because one can bet their bottom dollar that it's going to be through inflationary policies. Governments aren't going to want to pay those back, and they're going to want to inflate them away to the best of their abilities. And one way or the other, it means that the purchasing power of our fiat currencies is going to go down, in which case one really does have to have something that is going to hold its value. And in no uncertain terms, that is gold. Gold remains very close to this $1,350 level. It certainly paused in this level, but it remains very steady, and the progression of higher reaction lows remain very much intact. And provided that remains the case, we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside in the short term, and over the medium term, while becoming a little bit overextended, there is no evidence that this move has ended, and it'll be best bought from an investment perspective the next time it pulls back towards its 200-day moving average. And I think with that, I will leave you for the evening, but wish all the best to all of you.